Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. I know it's Labor Day. It's the beginning of the Labor Day weekend, and I hope if you're traveling, you're having a very safe trip. And if you're around, we wish you a very happy weekend and hope that you're listening to us and will join us. Today, I am delighted to welcome back to the show blog marketing expert Jack Humphrey. Jack is somebody that I followed around on the internet for a very long time, and he is the author of my very favorite blog, The Friday Traffic Report. He is also the author of a staple, it's an e-book, and it's a staple in my entrepreneurial library. I need coffee, Coffee 30 Black book, which is 67 pages of resources for social media marketing domination, love that word, buzz generation, higher rankings, and endless traffic. It's also a free download, and I really, really recommend that you go get it. Jack will tell you where to find it. Jack also has a great blog talk radio show himself called Friday Traffic Report with himself, Jack Humphrey, and Jim Stroud. Just type in his name in blog talk radio and you'll find the show. So today we are talking about authority building and why it is so very important to the success of your online business. So good morning, Jack, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. I can't believe you had me back. You must have had a great time last time.
We did. I have a lot of fun with you because, I mean, you know your stuff. You're fun. Your wife grew up in my backyard, you know, practically. We just have a lot in common. So if anybody asks, the little hamlet that I live in used to be a plantation, and his wife literally grew up in the cane fields back behind my house. It's a really interesting story.
Which is now covered with little McCann.
Houses, yes.
She was very sad about that.
Oh, she's no more sad than I am.
She wanted to show me the outhouse and everything.
Yeah, well, wait till y'all come back because, I mean, I look out my window and just, we may have to move, seriously. It's just gotten a little bit too grown up for me.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and I forgot to send her pictures. I will absolutely take some pictures and show her so she can cry with me. I hate to sob alone. So I have a ton of questions because I know you are the authority about, you know, building authority and presence and branding on the internet, and that is so important these days. So tell me how you've been before we get started, and for those who our listeners who have not met you yet, kind of introduce yourself if you don't mind and give them a little bit of history and tell them why they should be paying attention to you.
Well, it all started in 1968. I was born, is that too far back?
No, that's good.
How long is this show?
1 hour.
1 hour, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so 1968, just kidding. It all started in 98, actually. I was born on the internet when Google was born on the internet. We've grown up together.
Yeah.
And in internet years, we're about 150 now. And, but yeah, I started after I had gotten really, really burnt out in my nonprofit career. I was a wildlife tracker, wilderness instructor, survivalist, all that kind of stuff. We'd take people out in the mountains of New Mexico and Arizona and Chihuahua, Mexico, and you know, city slickers, greenhorns, from Sierra Club and places like that, and teach them how to, you know, actually be in the wild. And you'd think because they were, you know, members of those kinds of groups and everything, they'd already know how, but they were really green. And we would show them how to, we would track mountain lions and bears and, you know, do all kinds of really cool stuff, granola, crunchy kind of stuff out in some of the most remote areas in North America. outside of Alaska. So that's what I was doing before, running a nonprofit, executive director, doing nonprofits for about 11 years, and I got really burnt out. The pay, as some people may be surprised to know, it's not very good.
Not in the nonprofit.
You do that kind of work for the love of the work, and when you can't stand the politics and all of that stuff anymore, I lasted probably 6 years longer than the average person in that kind of field. And, you know, I started looking at the internet. I started thinking about my options, and I you know, when Google came around is when I started really getting interested online, and I started from my, you know, my main experience was tracking, and I really didn't have any internet savvy whatsoever. I'd been on the internet since 91, you know, in college and things like that, but I never, you know, looked at it as a business thing or anything like that until 98, and I noticed Google was doing some really neat stuff. I started looking at sites and backtracking them, and just like I would in the wild, if you go and if you find the site of a successful hunt, a deer kill or something in the wild, you'd backtrack what led up to that successful hunt for the predator that was lucky enough to get dinner that day. And you would go back and look at sign. You could find, you know, what the deer was doing, what the ambush probably looked like. You know, you put this picture together. It's kind of like CSI in the wild, and you get an idea of how a predator has a successful hunt. So that's my perspective, and I come online, and that's really what I know, and I start looking at, I want to be a big site. I want to be a site that gets a lot of traffic and makes money, and the only thing I knew to do was to look at those sites and backtrack them, and the way you do that is fairly common now, knowledge now, but back then it wasn't, and it was mainly looking at them. We didn't have all the tools that we do now or anything like that, but you could still find out who was linking to people. I found out, actually, that's so common knowledge now that wasn't even link popularity or anything like that wasn't even around back then as a phrase. And but I quickly found out that Google was actually, and we would love to all go back to this time, but they were just counting links and ranking people based on links. So if I had 1,000 links and you had 999, I'd rank above you. Any link at all. Back then there were FFA pages and really crappy, junky, you know, not good, what we call not good neighborhoods now. But you could get links from anything. And as long as you had a whole bunch of links, you would rank in the top 10.
Yeah, and they didn't have to make sense. They didn't have to be congruent with the site.
No, relevancy wasn't a factor or any of that stuff. And Google still had better search results than, you know, anybody else right off the bat because they were counting that. Now, because most people were not savvy to it. And you know what? There wasn't any search engine optimization until Google was about 2 years old. There was no such thing as SEO. You know, lots of things that people take for granted today, that was when it started. Nobody had any idea how Yahoo was ranking anything. and, you know, it was just a whole different world. And that's where power linking started. And I wrote the book based on what I found, and I found it all because of my background. I just did what I knew how to do and figured out how sites were successful, backtracked their links and all the things that they were doing to be a success, and would replicate that. And that's how I started getting popular in my own little part of the web. And that's where it was all started. And then since then, I've been doing membership sites, consulting, you know, had a few products come out over the years, different ones, lots of different products, but, you know, a few different significant ones. And to this day, the web is my domain. That's what I do. I've been full-time since 2002 when power linking first came out. It immediately was able to support me full-time, and it was the first book of its kind on the web for link generation and really explaining, you know, how the whole Google thing worked at the time. Even in 2002, all you had to do was get just tons of links, and we would give our, you know, if nobody else knew about it, I would give my right arm probably to be able to go and do that now, because I could, it was so much easier in a way than it is now. Now you got to learn a little bit, but once you learn a few things, you know how to do pretty much the same thing we were able to do back then when it was the Wild West.
Right, and there are a lot of, you know, there's some automation things that you can do too. You know, if you're running WordPress sites, which you and I both do, you've got the all-in-one SEO pack, you know, which is a plug-in, which is helpful. And, you know, there is some automation available, but you do still have to know what you're doing, no question about it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there is a trade-off. The web has become more regulated. It's self-regulated, but there are a lot more rules now than there were then. And so you need to know rules, and you need to know what they are and how to deal with those things. Google's got rules. If you want to, you know, play in Google's playground, you've got to go by the rules or you won't get in. And every you know, different sites, social sites, Facebook has rules, Twitter has rules. But the thing is, that structure that comes with that is really nice, and it's a nice trade-off from the Wild West days, because once you know the rules and once you know how everything works, you can reach a lot more people than we were ever able to back then. I mean, just so many more people are, you know, online than there used to be. But then it's also they're grouping up. They're corralling themselves all over the web, mainly at Facebook. That's the number one site for the biggest group of people online. And, you know, in all these other different social sites, all these other different places, and it's so easy now to just dip your toe into a group and make your presence known in a meaningful way that can attract more business leads or product sales or list subscribers. We didn't have any of that back then. There were no groups of people around except for forums. And,
right.
You know, you had a couple of forums that you could go to maybe if in your niche, depending on what it was. And that was it. That was your only outlet. And you remember we probably spent most of our time on forums. Now today we spend a lot of our time on different social networks, and I hardly ever go to a forum, ever.
You and me both.
You know, I had my fill of those in the beginning. Yeah.
Well, they're difficult to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
Yeah, and it's just an old, you know, method of communication. And to me, it pales in comparison to what you can do on social sites.
I agree.
You know, making groups and all of that kind of stuff and being able to organize people or go into groups of organized people who've organized themselves and say, hey, I'm here. This is what I do. Help people out a little bit. You know, be social. Don't be a crazy marketer yelling at the top of your lungs, and you'll get leads and you'll get results. It's pretty cool.
And you read my mind, because I was just about to ask you to kind of backtrack a little bit and tell people how they would dip the toe into, you know, some of these groups. And there are, you know, absolutely good ways to do it, and there are some that just, they'll get you, you know, smacked down. You will be banned from that page.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, can you give us, you know, the people who are listening who may not quite know what it is that you're saying or how to do it, can you give them some how-to steps? Let's go to Facebook, because Facebook is the biggest, and I find it the friendliest.
Yeah. Well, I find that most people are really kind of greedy when it comes to getting started with marketing on a social network. They've got a product. They want everybody in the world to know about it, and they don't have the discipline or patience to go into a site like that and use it the way it was designed to be used and get your message out. And it takes longer to do that, and people are impatient, and some people know that you're not supposed to go into a social network of any kind unless it was set to be specifically for just advertising, and then that probably isn't a social network that anybody visits.
Right.
And you just use it. Sometimes I don't want to give people instructions, because nobody on Facebook needed instructions to use it. Everybody's there because it's so easy to use. It's there, and there's nobody doing how to use Facebook blog talk radio shows. And that's why I'm really careful what I tell people to do, because there isn't a marketing system. There is, but there isn't. So I'll give that caveat, and then I'll tell you what you need to do. But it's really, you know, it's almost like if you tell marketers, here's what you got to do, then all of a sudden they go to Facebook with marketing hats on, and and their stuff just comes off like, oh God, it's one of those marketers. And
I think
you should know when you go to Facebook how people feel about that. You can find out very quickly if you make a mistake like that and just go and start spamming up your links and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out very quickly what people think about that. But those same people, if you had just made a, and here's the part where you, you know, fit the marketing in, and there is sort of a system here. You've got to fit in. You've got to use Facebook for what it was designed for in the first place, to be social, to network with people who have similar interests and hobbies and things to you that may not be similar to yet or relevant yet to what you sell online or what you're doing online. You have hobbies. You have to go to these sites and realize that you are there as a real person, not as so-and-so from M&M Marketing or whatever. I mean, that's just part of your bio, but you also like, you know, music, movies, books. You're a real person, and that's why I get so frustrated when I see people go and they just immediately set up a fan page, and they've done nothing in their very significantly in that little questionnaire that Facebook has to set up your account.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave out things that they feel are totally irrelevant, and they're completely relevant. And that is whether or not you like Led Zeppelin or, you know. Yeah, I mean, you really have to be a real person on there, and everything else will follow on it. And we were talking before the show, I just can't imagine how people are having trouble getting leads and getting things done. I mean, we have the exact opposite problem. It's too many leads. It's too many conversations, and we have to manage the exact opposite end of the spectrum, which is trying to manage all of that information and all those people that want to do something or have an idea or can you tell me more about this or where do I go to get this? And it's a nightmare on the other side of it. If you think it's hard when you're not getting any leads, it's easier than you think to turn that spigot on. It's not easy at all to get it turned off or to lower it down once it's on. So take heart. It's you'll have a whole different set of problems once you get this down.
That's true. One of the things that I do know, and I agree with you, people will come on my wall. I don't know who they are. I've never heard of them. You know, they may have already been, you know, in the early days when you're on Facebook, a lot of us made this mistake. We would just accept friend requests and say, well, I'll call them out later. So, you know, after a while, you hit that 5,000 mark and you have to move over to a fan page, and then you start calling them out, and all of a sudden somebody will pop up, and this has been happening way too much lately. I've never heard of them. I've never chatted with them. There's never been any interaction between me and them, and oftentimes they're not even really on, they're not supposed to be on my profile page. We're not friends. And all of a sudden I'll get some junk from them. They want me to go look at their latest product, or like, who are you?
Yeah.
And I find it a little bit offensive, to be honest with you. So I don't even look at their product. I do go look at their page and find out if I'm interested in maintaining or starting a relationship with them. And 99 times out of 100, I just kick them off.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it for me to have them garbage up my page, I guess, is my point.
It's really a short-sighted way to do things, because you're sitting on a gold mine and, you know, you're looking for silver.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense that people do that, because I guess it's just that people who have an experience what it's like to make connections. Now, I'm not talking about, I've got 2,000 or 3,000, I can't remember, I'm approaching 3,000, I guess, fans on Facebook and also on the fan pages I have and everything, and I don't sit and talk to that many people all the time, or even in the course of a year, I don't talk to that many people directly. You know, it's not that kind of a relationship, but there are different degrees. I've got everything split up into lists of the, you know, people closest to me and in little rings in a circle all the way out to people that are, you know, maybe I'll get back to them, maybe I won't, or whatever. And, yeah, I got into that Facebook follower thing. I probably should have around, I don't know, 500 tops, you know, and that's probably too many. But because people, you know, it really is for that networking. It's to get people to understand what it is that you do over time professionally. But if they're not interested in that, and most people aren't, if you're using Facebook properly, you're going to have people that you went to high school with. You're going to have people that you used to, you know, room with in college, or, you know, you're going to have friends and family. And very few of those people ever in my life since 1998 have come up and asked me, hey, how can I do what you're doing? You know, your friends and family, they don't know what you do. They don't, you know, and you have to be aware that that's on your stream too. That's in your Facebook profile too. And that people who are following you who are interested in what you do as a profession, in your product or your service, can also, if they're your friends, see what you do on a personal level, see how you interact with people who are your real friends in real life and all that kind of stuff. And it makes an impact. The more you do that, the more people feel like when it is the time to pay attention to what you do or what products you have to sell, they feel like they know you. And, man, you can't have a better situation than that. When you're trying to sell something or, you know, promote yourself, brand yourself, and also the connections. There's so many intangibles that come out of doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. That, you know, a lot of people are trained right from the beginning because they buy these courses that say, I'm going to show you 10 steps. I'm going to show you a formula. I'm going to show you, you know, all this. It all comes down to very quantitative stuff. Like, if you do this, then that. If this, then that. And that's not the way social works. Social is if this, then maybe that or something else. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. And a lot of people, when they come from that really rigid background, I need you to teach me step 1, 2, 3, they've never been made to think for themselves in any of the basic courses that they've taken on marketing and branding and things like that. And therefore, when they get on, that's why a lot of people fail on social sites, because now you have to think for yourself. You have to be social. You have to react to things that are not quantitative. They're qualitative. And, you know, and it's hard for some people. But, you know, that's really what it demands. And the rewards of it are so great that if you are, you know, having a little bit of trouble with that, just stick to it, because I guarantee you're going to have a great time. And really neat things are going to happen, and I can't tell you what they are. There's just no way. There's so many weird little coincidences that have happened, little, hey, my, you know, cousin. I got a consulting gig from a friend of mine that I used to play every Thursday night with. I play drums, so African percussion, djembe, and I, you know, go to open mic every Thursday night. And he, the guitar player, singer that I was with, has a cousin here in town. The guitar player moved away, and I'm bummed because that was a really fun thing every Thursday with him. But his cousin called me up probably 2 months ago and said, you know, hey, I was talking to John on Facebook, and he reminded me that you do Internet stuff, and I'm doing some Internet stuff for locals, and I need a little help with this account. And it was just really weird. I mean, how could anybody ever put that into a course and say that this kind of stuff is going to happen? It's not. Not ever going to happen exactly the same way, but, you know, if you're not there, it's not going to happen. That's the only guarantee I can make about social media, is if you're not there, nothing's going to happen. If you're there and you're doing it wrong, nothing's going to happen. And if you're there and you're really if you do it right and take your time, a lot of people just don't take their time when they're starting out. You know, you see all these little immature headlines of things. I need a lot of money now. Make money now. Make a lot of money now. And a lot of people come in through that.
21,000 in 30 days. I fall for that one every time, don't you?
Yeah. It's just amazing.
Or 90,000. I don't want 21. That's paltry. I want 90.
Yeah, and to be fair, people, you know, they don't know anything about the Internet, so they don't know what's possible. When they come on, they're like, wow, okay, I've heard about, you know, I've seen guys playing in World Series of Poker who they said they sold an Internet company. They had some kind of Internet company. Now they're totally rich, and they sit on World Series of Poker and play. And so maybe that kind of money is possible, you know, because that guy, I saw him on TV, and you hear all these stories on CNN and everywhere else, and of success stories. And Google makes billions of dollars, so maybe 21,000 in 30 days isn't, you know, so they get taken in by that. And it's, everybody has to, I always said it was like that Guns N' Roses video where, he gets off the bus in Hollywood, and he's got a piece of straw in his mouth and a flannel shirt on, and he's totally a country kid in a place he does not belong and doesn't know anything about, and people immediately start coming up to him and offering him drugs and, you know, all of this different stuff, the predators. And that's exactly what the Internet is like. In the beginning, you getting off the bus with a piece of straw in your mouth and a farmer's hat on and everything, and you stick out like a sore thumb, a newbie. Right. They don't know anything. 21 days or 21,090 days, I'm going to get you that. And they don't know. They'll take advantage of that. They'll look at it.
Sure.
And it's about who makes it through that process, because we can't be there for them all. I mean, you know, we can't go, hey, whoa, that dude's a drug dealer or that dude's
right.
You know, those guys are the drug dealers of the Internet marketing profession. They're exactly the same. They're just peddling junk to people and trying to get in their pockets, and they're usually the first ones to do. And by the time they get to us, man, everybody's got a story. My God, I spent $10,000. I did this. It didn't work. And
yeah. I got burned so many times. And you're right. But you know, Jack, the last time you were on my show, you said something to me that really stuck in my mind, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it because I can't remember it exactly, but I know the import of it. And it was the oddest thing because I've referenced it several times since. But one of the things you said, and we were talking about visibility on the Internet and pretty much, you know, what we're talking about now. And one of the things that you said to me was, you know, when you're on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, you do have to have that kind of know, like, and trust factor, which is what we're seeing here. And that people, you have to just kind of be present. You have to be there all the time. And what you said that stuck in my head was that you know, people will be looking at you out of the corner of their eye, and when they're ready to pay attention and you pop up in front of them again, they're ready for you. And I thought that was fairly profound, and I'm telling you what probably wasn't 72 hours later, I had a phone call from somebody on Facebook, had never heard of this person, wasn't connected with them in any way, shape, or form, and I always want to know, how did you find me? Well, somebody on Facebook recommended you, and I said, well, who was that person? I would like to tell them thank you. Again, the person who highly recommended me was not somebody I'm connected with, but they followed me. They knew the kind of work I did. They knew the chatter about me from my clients on Facebook, and they were perfectly comfortable in recommending me to this person who became one of my best clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it, because people are watching. They're listening. They may not be interacting directly with you, but they're watching how you comport yourself, and it's so important that you're not putting all that blingy postcard garbage on there or cursing or allowing people to curse on your page, because, you know, if they are in your friend stream, if you will, and they're not necessarily clients or potential clients, but they're posting some junk on your page, you need to block your brother. If he's the one doing it, you need to get him off of there, because that stuff shows up, and it goes to character, and it goes to how you comport yourself as a professional. But these things do happen, and it was so funny. Right out, and not long after I spoke with you, here pops up somebody on Facebook who did exactly what you said they do. They're watching out of the corner of their eye, and when my services were needed, my services were offered, and not by me. It's the craziest thing. I was so impressed.
Yeah, the only thing left to do is to, you know, there's just such a lack of techniques. There's technical stuff. You know, you need to know how to make a fan page. You need to know how to do all of those kinds of things, and do everything with great taste. And I think probably the best thing that you can do. I'm working on a new course called Backtrack SEO now, and so I'm kind of in that mode of telling people how to be real. And if you can't do it on your own, then just go look at the favorite sites, your favorite sites. And I give a whole bunch of examples of sites. It's really interesting how many sites are on the web that are super popular right now that were started by people who didn't know anything at all about SEO.
Right.
And I talk about Heather at Deuce.com, who's now got a show on HGTV. But she's... you know, was, I don't know who's on top now, but she's still probably very popular, would get thousands of comments per post, you know, and she's just wildly, wildly popular. And I did an interview with her a couple years ago, And I started to tell her, you know, it's really wild that you are so popular. You rank for everything that you want to rank for. You're, you know, everybody's talking about you on the social sites. You don't go out and do article marketing. Your RSS button is totally at the bottom of your page. You don't have a subscription, an email subscription form. You don't have a newsletter. I was telling her all of these things that were, I was comfortable. I wasn't, you know, I was giving her a pretty harsh critique from a marketing standpoint because she was already there. It didn't matter to her. She was already as successful as you could possibly be as a single blogger. You know, that's as big as a blog can get before you need, and she already, you know, she has staff. But, you know, that's as far as you can go. You have to go to the next level and become Huffington or something like that. That's how, that's where she was and still is today. And I told her, and she's like, what's PageRank? I said, you have all this PageRank. And she's like, what is that? And link popularity, what is that? And there are a lot of sites out there. And my whole
premise... They just kind of happen,
No, it wasn't unintentional. These people started sites so they would be popular one day. They just didn't go at it from the route that everybody that is in the internet marketing world hears, that you've got to know SEO and you've got to put your pocket protector in and learn this super wildly geeky stuff and spend all your time on that, no matter how impractical that is, because if you have a business, you've got to fulfill products, you've got other things to do in marketing, you've got to put content up, you've got to work with your clients, you've got all these other things that you have to do, and yet people get into this mindset that you've got to spend all your time on SEO, on getting in the engines, and once that traffic comes, everything will be okay. And then once that traffic comes, people are like, this traffic is crap, or my landing page is, because I'm getting traffic now and I'm not getting any conversions. And then you've got to figure all of that kind of stuff out. And you thought, and it's a real letdown, because you thought once you got into the search engines for some keywords that brought you a lot of traffic, the game would be over and you'd be sitting on the beach, you know, counting your money. And it's real depressing. And people who get from that stage to the next stage are, it's not very many. It really weeds out an awful lot of people that don't then have the stomach to go on because they thought that was going to be the end game. It's really just the beginning.
So, and that leads us to authority, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's an ongoing process of being present. If there were no social sites today, the number one thing that you'd be doing is blogging and having that social interaction on your blog, people making comments, you having conversations. A lot of that has moved off now to the social sites. But your authority would just come from being present and being in the corner of everybody's eye in your market, as, as many of them as possible, so that when they're ready, you're there. And you have an established presence, and there's no question in the world about whether or not they should trust you when they're checking out, when they're buying something, when they're clicking on an affiliate link or thinking about hiring you as a consultant and picking up the phone. There's no question in their mind because they've been in touch with you. And your example earlier, the person who actually called you wasn't the one that, you know, probably knew all that stuff about you, but it was a referral from someone else who has never been your client and you've never had any contact with. That's the power of this. These people are effectively strangers, complete strangers, but they feel comfortable enough to recommend and then call you because of the massive amounts of places that they can find you. And she must be legit. Look at all this stuff. She must be legit. Now, tell me in any other situation where you could do that.
You can't. That's just it. You cannot buy that kind of publicity, if you will, or that kind of chat. You just can't. And one thing I did was when, you know, once I brought this lady on as a client, I tracked down the other person who referred me, and I contacted her, and I said, thank you so much. But can I ask why you did this? I don't even know you. And we got in a big conversation, and, you know, we're just the best of friends online now. But she said exactly what you said. She said, I've been watching you. You know, I know some of the people that you've been working with. I've looked at the websites that you build. I like the advice that you give people. You know, put out a lot of free content. She said, I just like the way you do business. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I was so appreciative of that, but it took me right back to our, you know, our first interview, and I said, well, Jack was dead right on that one. In fact, I think I sent you a note to tell you that.
Yeah, I remember.
I think I did, yeah. Because I was like, whoa. He was dead right. It was very impressive to me. I think I probably knew it at some level, but hadn't really, you know, just kind of laid it out for myself. So it's very, very important that you are on the social media, you know, circuit, if you will. And you're being your authentic self. You're not trying to sell.
Yeah, if you look at my stream, there's nothing there that would indicate that I'm a hardcore marketer.
No, not at all.
Got links to my sites, but a lot of my stuff is personal. I've got a local site, and I interact with people on Facebook a lot more that are locals because I know them, and and that's just natural. That's the way a person who wasn't a marketer would do it too. And you know, I don't interact with them with any illusions about them becoming clients or anything like that. I don't even care because I don't really want more clients anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just there. I'm just actually enjoying using social media for what it was intended. And the business just follows. You know, whatever business I want to grow out of it, if I lose everything today, if all the products stop selling and all that kind of stuff, I have got something that can't be taken away. I mean, you know, I can build right back up. I could come out with a new product tomorrow, stay up all night, come out with a new product tomorrow, and have it online and selling in 24 hours.
Right.
And I have all the
content. Know you.
Yeah.
Right. People who know you are willing to look at your new products because they're thinking, well, you know, I've looked at him before, I've worked with him before, I'm in.
Yeah. It's really important. It's ever since social media started up, it's just been a real struggle for traditional online marketers or people who came on and were taught by traditional online marketers to grasp it and to see, to understand. And the questions they ask will tell you everything you need to know about their background. Because they'll ask, like, how many links do I need to get from Facebook? And I'm like, you don't get links from Facebook. You don't, you know, Facebook is a closed system, and Google can't see stuff on Facebook that it can see on Twitter, which is an open system. If you're not someone's friend, you can't see their wall, and Google is not everyone's friend. And so, and it's not even like that. Even if Google could, they wouldn't give weight to those links because then everybody would start spamming.
Think that
they were going to get link juice out of that or link popularity out of that. And it's not the point anyway. It's selling short. It's a short sale to do it that way anyway, to think that I'm going to put a bunch of stuff up on social sites and it's going to lead to a bunch of traffic and I'm going to make money. You're going to put a bunch of stuff on social sites over time. As your life progresses and you interact with people on a more personal level than you do on a sales letter when somebody comes just from an AdWords ad or something. You know, you're not going to sit there and tell them about your dog and everything, but you are in these social situations or something that would make people feel like they're actually following a person. Otherwise, they don't. They'll just unfriend you, unfollow you, or otherwise ignore you whenever you say something because it's always the same stuff. Buy my stuff.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, there's a caveat to that, too. I mean, you do want to be personable and, you know, approachable on Facebook and on Twitter. And tell me what you think of this. I think that you have to be extraordinarily careful about what you put up personally. It's one thing to say, oh, you know, my cat just got on my keyboard and here's a cute picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
People like that. You put up a picture of your pets and people love that. They probably don't want to know, though, and I see this a lot with some internet marketers that, you know, I'm driving a Ferrari or, you know, I'm living in a McMansion. They don't need to know that. Yeah, I think that's a big mistake. They also don't need to, you know, see a conversation between me and a friend that I'm no longer friends with. You know, just I see a lot of things on people's pages that is just too much darn information.
Yeah, some people go a little overboard with it.
It does change my opinion, rightly or wrongly, of them. So
yep.
I think you need to be very, very careful about what you post on the internet. I know I have one gentleman, he's not a client, but we've done some, you know, small joint ventures together, and he was saying, kind of like we were talking before the show started, his business is way, way off. And I went and I looked at his Facebook page, and I got fairly brutal with him. I said, you're on vacation too much. You know, you were constantly out doing this, doing that. You're posting pictures of, you know, your going whitewater rafting, you're going here, there, and yonder. People don't think you need the business. You're just too out there with your personal stuff. And yeah, it's great, and those are some gorgeous pictures, but, you know, I'm not going to call you and say, I really would like to consult with you because you're whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
So you might want to ratchet that back. And he said, are you serious? I said, I'm dead serious. So we'll see if he takes, you know, it was just my opinion.
Yeah.
But we'll see if it works, if he, you know, he acts on it. But, you know, people look at that and say, well, you know, if you're that successful, you don't need my business.
Right. Right.
Right. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm curious.
No, I agree. I mean, that's a very plausible explanation for it. And the other reason is he's always on vacation. It's hard to generate new business when you're on vacation. And remembering, you know, a lot of people, when they hear us talk about social media, they feel like that's, you know, we take an hour to do that, and they start to get this picture, wow, all these guys do is social media. And let me tell you that although I would like to do more of it because it's fun, there are other things that we all have to do with our business, and there are other ways that we have to get traffic. We have to do search engine stuff. We've got to do, you know, if you're like me, you're doing webinars, you're doing interviews, you're doing product development, you're doing product fulfillment, you're, you know, doing all these other things. And
article marketing.
Yeah.
Writing articles.
So, yeah, you know, posting to the blog, creating content, so many other things that you have to do. This is just one aspect. And I'm sure that I could ratchet up my presence. I could redirect how, you know, what I share. I could fine-tune and tweak the way I'm doing social media and get more out of it. But I don't have time. I'm getting out of it what I have time to get out of it now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't assume that, that we hang out. And if you follow either of us, you know, you're going to see that, you know, there are stretches there where we're not around, and you can assume what you will, but it'd be a safe assumption that we're working on our business somewhere else right now, and we just haven't been back to Facebook to play Family Feud or whatever. So, I mean, I even get something out of that. I'm making connections with people. I'm in the corner of people's eye because I'm a little addicted to Family Feud. And,
oh, really?
And when I play the game and I don't make the score that I need, it shares on my wall. It gives me the option to show on my wall, Jack needs help to get the bonus. And so the Family Feud logo comes up. And, and how does that have anything to do with my marketing?
It doesn't.
It
well,
does.
It does, actually.
But it's
yeah.
making a it's showing people I'm real. You know,
exactly.
I will take a time out and play a little game on Facebook once in a while. And, you know, who knows if anything will ever come out of that. I'm not doing it because of that. I'm doing it to play the game, you know. But it's, I don't know, it's just a weird little thing. It's all qualitative stuff. And you just don't, there's no way. If anybody ever tells you, here's how you do social media, right away, they're wrong. Don't listen to them. Because nobody knows, really. I mean, there's nobody out there that can say, concrete, this is how you do social media, and there is no other way, and this is how you do it, or you're going to blow it. Because, you know, if that same guy would have come up to me and said, why is my business down, I might have given him a totally different answer, and we could have both been right, or wrong, or, you know, we just don't know what he's, you'd have to go through and analyze all of his stuff over time, and what kind of followers does he have? Is he one of those guys that, you know, accepts friends from anywhere, just sight unseen? Is he, you know, all that kind of stuff, and it still wouldn't lead anyone to be able to say responsibly a concrete answer as to why.
Exactly. That was just my initial, I looked at it and went, whoa, well, you're almost on.
That's my impression. And that's what it all boils down to. You know, the allure of, like, Facebook, since we're on Facebook, is that there's 500 million users.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there's no bigger single group on the web than that. And so, and what it also means is that, you know, it really gives us insight as well as marketers to what normal people do online. We couldn't really tell that much other than going to Google and finding out what people are searching on. And that doesn't tell you anything about the person. But Facebook has given us a window as marketers on the world of what it's like to be a regular surfer. And even more so, I'm really glad I started a local site because I can go and talk to people face-to-face and say, hey, have you been on the site? We put up a new story about that thing that you thought was really cool. No, I hadn't gotten there because I was, you know, I barely have enough time to check Facebook. And that's I barely have enough time, or I'm, you know, Facebook is the center of a lot of people's universe who are very inexperienced about the web. They have a phone, and they use that to check in on Facebook or update or send up a picture or something like that, and they're using that predominantly. They're not walking around with laptops. They're not,
right,
you know.
Right.
It's a whole different world. It really changes how you think about how to market to people, how to, and not even market. I don't even look at it that way, marketing to people. I just, how
I
you interact.
Connecting with people, you know, interacting is, you know, connecting.
Yeah.
I don't use Facebook to market. I really don't. It just happened to evolve that way.
Yeah.
I use it to meet people. I use it to follow people like you, you know, that are really interesting to me. You know, I use it to connect with people. You and I had this conversation. In the normal course of events, I live in a little bitty town in southwest Louisiana. I'm equidistant between Hurricanes Rita and Katrina. You're in Canada. We would never meet at the Walmart. We just wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I get to talk with you. I get to interview people like you. I interviewed Larry Wingate last week. I get to meet the neatest people. And all of them, you included, have been on Facebook. I've met you on Facebook.
Well, so, everybody's on Facebook.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't ignore it. When you get online, you just can't ignore it. There are people out there who don't know what to do with it. And there are lots and lots of people out of that 500 million that don't check in regularly or couldn't be considered regular users of it. But you're not going to find a bigger group, a single bigger group online. And it really can tell you a lot about what, you know, when you do get to talk to people about it, you know, how much time do you spend online? Where do you spend it?
Mm-hmm.
I call Facebook and places like that anchor sites. And those are the sites that people use as their home base. That's
right.
Where they spend the most significant amount of time. If you saw a graph of where they spend their time online, the average user's graph is going to look really weird. It's going to be one big chunk of time on one site and little tiny, you could just picture them clicking away and getting on the Internet. You know, because Facebook isn't really the Internet. It's a closed system. It's like, it's very much like AOL was, only today's version of that, because you can spend all your time there. You can do all kinds of things there, except check email. But you also get messages there, and if you have an email account that you don't give out to people and your real interaction is at Facebook, then that's also your email account. So, you know, the private messaging and everything. So when you look at it like that, they just go out on the web when they see something on Facebook, but they really don't want to leave Facebook. You have to work pretty hard to get people off Facebook because they got stuff to do. They worked all day, come and check out what their friends are saying, check out the pictures of the dogs and the cats and the new baby that their cousin had, and they've got messages that they've got to answer. And when you get in there and you know, are demanding in any way of their time, it had better be for a darn good reason, because they've got so many other things that they could just blow you off and go, you know. And that's why I think the passive way is the way to go. It's like, you like it or not, it's on your wall or not, it doesn't really matter. I mean, some people are listening and at the time, and they will like or comment, or they'll come to my blog and comment because of, you know, I post all my blog posts to Facebook and Twitter. And whoever's listening at the time, who even cares, you know.
Right. It's up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And that's exactly how I approach Facebook. You know, I'm there and I would love to chat with you, but if not, I'm good. You know, it's not going to hurt my feelings at all. I know one thing that you mentioned earlier, before we got on the line, that, you know, you have a new look at what really matters in internet marketing above everything else and how to do it. What is that new look?
Well, authenticity and just delivering. You know, a lot of it comes from social media over the years, just looking at how, you know, backtracking how people have gotten popular. And they all have a few things in common, things like, they're very giving. They give away information that everybody else wants to sell. They spend time thinking about their content, and they try to give people experiences instead of just, you know, making it like whoever your favorite blogger is, the best blog post you ever read, that person sat down to give you an experience. They spent time on that post. They did research, or they they came up with a brilliant idea, and they found a way to express that idea very eloquently, or, you know, whatever it is. Everybody's had that kind of experience, and if that's not happening in some way with your presence on the web, then you're not probably very likely to get super big like the people who seem to only care about giving people really great experiences, whether it's, you know, resources that they can use to learn how to do something, or, you know, all the things that you can give away for free that are around and relevant to what you sell, and just go mad with it, go absolutely nuts with it. My new thing on this, and this goes back to the Backtrack SEO course, is SEO is dead, because now SEO is basically giving people a quality experience. You know, quality is a ranking factor more than link popularity or anything else, and that's kind of a coup, and I haven't told anybody else that idea. This is the first place, but the people out there who know nothing about SEO that didn't go and submit articles or do any directory submissions or any link building or any any of the other things that you're taught to do, who are wildly, wildly successful now. And there are lots of them. It's not few and far between at all. In fact, most of the biggest sites on the web now don't do anything that people are taught in internet marketing to do. What they do that we don't typically do is go out there to give people a genuine kick-butt experience. Whatever that might be, it could be a software app that you give away for free on the site. It could be the way you write. It could be, you know, there's so many examples of bloggers out there who are just apparently just don't care about anything, didn't care about anything in the beginning, but getting readers through very, very quality content.
Can you give some examples? I think I know who you're talking about, some of them, but
well,
can
you know,
share
Aaron,
examples, or will that be in your product?
No, Aaron Wall at SEO Book did some really great link bait posting where he just set out to really, you know, just get people talking about him, buzz, get lots and lots of chatter, lots of links that he could never get individually by himself with any kind of software or any kind of, you know, Google has taken care of to make sure that an individual site owner will never be able to manipulate the search engine rankings by themselves. It makes it so that Google has to see people who are not directly connected to you talking about you on Facebook and other places before it starts to go, okay, now I think you're important, because now I know the people that are not directly associated with you think you're important.
Right.
So there's no way you could have manipulated that result other than to drive them crazy with this content that you put up, or a resource that you put up, or, you know, it can be a video, audio, anything. When you get people talking, and you start working on from the perspective that it's not you that needs to go out and get the links. You don't need to go out and do anything. You need to be on your main site putting up really, really excellent stuff. That is exactly what your market wants. It's exactly what they've been asking for. And if that means that you have to do something that you would normally think was a paid product and give it away for free, then that's exactly what you have to do. You know,
you know who comes to mind is Seth Godin. I mean, he has got huge, massive number of people who are out there promoting him all over the place, and pretty much what he does is just write.
And we talked about Heather earlier. There's tons of mommy bloggers that follow the same vein. There's and they're wildly, wildly popular. I mean, way more than internet marketers actually set out to ever be. You know, a lot of people just, they start and they want to be rich. They want to make money. They don't realize that popularity is how you make the most money online. It's it's not a bad thing. It's not like high school, but it kind of is. It follows that same formula, but it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, the more people like you in the biggest groups of them possible, the better you do. And that comes from these types of sites like Seth and Aaron Wall and Heather and all these other sites out there that you know, think about Darren Rouse. He gives a lot of advice on ProBlogger.net about SEO and stuff like that. But the funny thing is, and the ironic thing is that when he started out that blog, he wasn't doing any of those things. He was just putting up really good content that people would read and go, wow, you've got to check this out. And they'd run to their email. They'd run to whatever it was at the time that they were able to update, because Twitter and Facebook weren't on the map. And they would start recommending, and they would blog. Back then, it was a bunch of bloggers read his blog, and they would all blog about it, this post by Darren, and they would anchor text link to him with great keywords. And he didn't go out and do article marketing, any of that stuff. And he became as popular as he is today, and that site makes scads of money, tons and tons and tons of money. Now he knows about SEO, and now, you know, but that's funny, and Aaron Wall sells SEO advice. The funny thing is, his biggest boost of popularity and everything came from not really doing SEO in a traditional sense, although we consider link bait now to be SEO. But, you know, if you take the word link bait out of it, it was just quality content that forced people to link to it for fear of looking irrelevant in front of their own audience for not saying something about that post that Aaron just put up.
For not being part of it, exactly right. Yeah, I watched that as well. Jack, very quickly, where can people find you on the Internet?
Anywhere.
I love that.
Just type Jack Humphrey in Google, and you'll find all kinds of stuff. But Friday Traffic Report, blogsuccess.com, and pretty soon at backtrackseo.com. That'll be I'm hoping next week we're going to be able to launch that.
You have to let me know. I'm going
on
a little bit to help you.
Yeah, it's really wildly different than anything anybody's ever read about SEO, and that's what I set out to do. And that's why I haven't had a product in a while, because I don't want to do one unless it's going to be. I'm used to having that the way power linking was taken by people in 2002 was just tremendous, and it set me up to not want to do products unless I can get that kind of feedback, because I know how important it is. And I knew even then, before the social web was even remotely close to us, that the more people talk about something, the more excited they are about something, the better your business is going to do. And that was before the social web or anything. And now I know for a fact that I don't want to release anything unless people are so turned on by it that they're going to just yak about it everywhere. And so I didn't have an idea like that until this summer. And I didn't push it.
Well, let me know, because, you know, I have a lot of your products, and, you know, I would like to review it. So just let me know when you're ready to go, and I'll review for you.
Absolutely. I think you'll like it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said I think you'll like it.
I know I will. I've loved all of your products, and I'm telling you, I think I told you this before, the Authority Black Book.
Mm-hmm.
I must have downloaded that 3 or 4 times, because it gets annotated, and, you know, I scribble on it, and then I yellow mark on it, and then I green mark on it, and after a while I spill coffee on it. And
that's really hard on your computer screen.
No kidding.
You shouldn't spill coffee on your
screen. No, I print it. So I print it, and I mark it on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do. You know, I mean, what is that thing, 97 pages, 67 pages, and I print it every time.
Yeah.
And then I even dropped it in the tub once, which is probably not an image you need in your head, but I have downloaded that thing so many times, and here's the sad thing. I won't get rid of my old annotated copies. I still have them, so I have a folder that has all of those, you know, different permutations of this poor book in there. So it'll wind up in a museum one day, I'm sure.
Yes, when I have my library dedication.
That's at
a preschool library. That they name after me.
I'll be there. Well, listen, we have somebody, Judy Peebles is in the chat room, and she has a couple of questions. I'm going to try to dial her in. Do you have time to take a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay, great. Let's see if we can get her in. Sometimes this works, you know. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. Judy, this is Denise. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi.
So good morning, and I would like to introduce you to Jack Humphrey.
Jack,
hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you.
I sent a friend request to you on Facebook.
Oh, cool. I'll watch for that.
I have a question about Facebook. So I have almost 1,000 outstanding friend requests on my page, most of whom I have no idea who they are. And so what criteria do you use to accept friends? Do you accept them all and then delete them if they, you know, put something on your wall that you don't want there? Or what's your criteria for that?
It's changed over time. Yeah, English is important. You know, I've been turning down most friend requests where I check them all. I check them all out, and, you know, if the first thing that sticks out to me in their profile is something about marketing, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you guys. I can't take any more, you know. I just can't. I only get so many, and I don't want that much more noise on my wall, and not that it's terrible what anybody's sharing or anything like that. I don't want to make that assumption, but I usually look to see if they're a local, and if they're a local, they automatically are friends. Because I'm doing that local site. So my priorities with Facebook are probably different than yours, but, you know, generally I'm very stingy about who I accept anymore. I'm trying not to reach 5,000.
It can be a bit overwhelming. Yeah, it can be a bit overwhelming with that many coming in on. I mean, I get like 20 or 30 a day, it seems like.
Judy does a lot of local work. Jack, can you explain to her how that local site works? Because I have to be honest with you, I'm in the dark about this one, and I'm one of those people who knows everything about everything. So I hate to admit that.
I know, and I'm pretty amazed that you don't.
So
I don't know what
you.
Hey, I'm being sarcastic, but I honestly don't know what it is that you're talking about local. So can you kind of share that with us? Because Judy does a lot of local work.
Yeah, it's literally a local site. It's called GoWayneCounty.com. Hugely proud of it. It's my favorite thing to work on right now because it's
Go Wayne County.
GoWayneCounty.com. It's GoWayneCounty.com.
You know, I think I saw that and didn't know what it was. Okay.
It's just I'm not in a big enough area to have a city name. You know, I live in Richmond, but that's not big enough, so I have to take the whole county to get over 100,000 residents. And,
you and me both.
Yeah, and, you know, I like it that way. I'm not complaining. And there's now, you know, when you do the whole county, there's enough businesses that would like to do advertising, and it's all run on advertising. We have an offline newsletter. The new one for September is just out yesterday. And so people who, you know, I'm in a rural-type area. There's not a lot, as many people here that are savvy on the Internet like they would be in Chicago or New York or, you know, so you've got to meet them where they're comfortable. So we have to do an offline publication, but it also helps because it's free advertising. The advertisers pay for the printing and everything, and then we get to have Go Wayne County out all over the county and all the different restaurants and waiting rooms, and you know, it's just one of those little free papers that people pick up while they're eating or whatever, and our domain is all over it. And so that's really, you know, it's just really fun because I haven't done any offline stuff. I haven't, you know, ever really gotten into it except in this last couple of years, been paying attention to local. And frankly, that's the lowest hanging fruit, the next frontier for Internet. Because what I'm doing is I'm meeting all these people who you think the Internet's been around for so long and all local businesses know how to do stuff on the web. And they're all there and that you're connecting with them. Well, let me tell you, you're not. And they're not. They're not there. They are so, bless their hearts, primitive when it comes to the web. And they're desperate for information. And people say that to sell courses. And let me just tell you, I don't have a course on local marketing. So take my word for it. I don't have any other reason to say this. You know, they really are desperate for any information they can get from people, how to get people foot traffic in the door using the Internet, how to get ranked in Google. They don't know how easy it is to get ranked for geo-targeted keywords. But, you know, we all know that's child's play compared to the words we're trying to get ranked for, which is, you know, universal keywords that apply to anybody and everybody. Those are harder to get. But when you get insurance salesman or insurance Richmond, Indiana, that I can get somebody to rank for with no problem at all in the top 10. No problem at all. And it's just everywhere you live, wherever you live, there's the ability to do that because it's exactly the same everywhere. You know, you might have a little bit more competition in Chicago. You might have a little bit more, but there's so much of this pie to go around. And that's what those guys are talking about when they're yelling at the top of their lungs. They're actually right. But sometimes you start to discount things because they're selling something, so of course they're going to say that. But I will, you know, I'm actually in that market, and I'm doing it, and I can tell everybody, since I'm not selling that information, I'm giving it away, what I know about it. It really is that big of a market. It's exciting. It's fun to play with.
Judy, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that does. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that either, but Did you hear my brain buzzing there?
Those little that wheels that you.
That's what that racket was. That was my gears grinding. So, and I know you had another question for Jack too.
I did. I had a friend of mine had wanted me to post a weekly on her blog, something of, you know, about me and my business and things, and I was fine with that. But then I had posted the same article that I wrote for her on my blog, and she said, no, you can't do that. You have to change it at least, you know, 35% or something, or the search engines miss it. And then somebody else told me, no, just write for your readers. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about the search engine thing. And so what's your opinion on that?
The second person was right.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Google never wants to have the same article in the top 10. You have to think, and the reason that she said that was for the prevailing myth, and it's not her fault, it's everybody thinks that way. And it's my job to go around and make sure everybody thinks a different way about this, and that's what this is, you know, that you don't have to worry about duplicate content, or, you know, if you put it on your blog, you put it on there for your readers. And if you put it somewhere else, Google's going to see it there, and if it's going to rank it at all, it's going to use that as the original source for that content. And if it's going to rank it, you know, if it's in 100 different places, that's the one it's going to prefer, the first one it sees. Or if her site is really, really new and really young, and you posted the article there, and then you posted it on a super popular blog, it's going to then probably rank that super popular blog, because it's just got more trust with Google, it's got higher page rank, it's got more links, it's got more readers, and that's probably the one. And so why would Google do that? You always have to think, what is it, what's in it for Google? They want a top 10 result for every keyword that's typed in there that will please the daylights out of the person doing the search. And, you know, if you were around when Wikipedia started, Google had to make an adjustment for Wikipedia, because Wikipedia was coming up for 3, 4, 5 different search results in one top 10 result for one keyword search, because it was just Google was giving them too much weight. And then they switched, and one day, if there was a Wikipedia result, there was only one in the top 10, and they didn't dominate the number one position all the time. They had to artificially lower the value of Wikipedia, because it came to dominate every single search result out there, or almost. And they do the same thing. They throttle back on, you know, okay, this article, we understand syndication, that's not a bad thing. Marketers made up the whole spin thing, and that's a real piece of trickery. It's really sort of black hat, because it, you know, a lot of people don't think of it that way, but Google does, because you're essentially just moving a couple of words around, but it's the same exact information. You know, you're fiddling with grammar. You're not changing the message. You're not changing the content, the real content or the topic of that thing. And they don't like that. They're not. That's why they don't rank the second time they see it or the third time they see it. But where you're putting your articles the second and third times, it's not about the search engines. It's about the people who are there in those areas. So if you put it on easyandarticles.com, you're looking for people to read it there and hopefully pick it up there and put it on their blog exactly as written. That's really what article directories started out to be in the very beginning, was that, was to go out and get picked up. And then, you know, SEO guys figured out that, hey, this is good for backlinks, and everybody has treated article directories in completely the wrong way ever since. They're not for backlinks. They are for, and Google discounts most of the backlinks from article directories anyway. They're for publishers. They were originally for publishers who needed an article to go up on their site because they didn't have time to write, to go grab a good article with your link in it, and your link then gets on a site that really is valuable to Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's somebody's real site. It's not an article directory. It's their site. They published it, and that's how you were supposed to get links from article syndication, not to get on the directories themselves. And forget about whether or not that's duplicate content or not. That link still counts. That might not rank that particular page that they put your article on, but Google will spider, and they will take the value of the site that you're on, the whole site, and still give you link relevance for the link that shows up in that duplicate article back to your site. They don't discount that. And so it's still a very viable thing, and most people don't know that. They're just like, you know, they want to spin their articles, and they're trying to do all this stuff to see if they can get any link juice, and they don't. And even if you spin your articles, you're not going to get the kind of link juice with that framework or with that short-sightedness they're never going to get that kind of result that they think they're going to get.
Right, thanks. That's really helpful, yeah, because who has time to rewrite articles anyway?
Nah,
that once I'm doing well.
And always remember that there are all kinds of people who are very, very successful and popular now, great big sites that never did ever article syndication.
Right. Jack, explain very quickly what Black Hat is. I know people are going to say, what was that?
Well, it's a term, you know, that indicates that you're doing something to artificially inflate your rankings more than your site deserves. And we all still see rankings in Google where it's like, oh, crap, I wish I hadn't clicked on that link, and now I got to go back,
mm-hmm.
and what's that doing in the top 10? Well, somebody's done something tricky to get there because they don't deserve to be there. You only deserve to be in the top 10 if now, the way Google spiders and takes all this social stuff into account and the people talking about you, linking to you from other blogs, you only deserve to be there if people are genuinely reacting to the content on that page that's in the results. On social sites, Google watches that. The links from Twitter, they break down the bit.ly links and find the real link, and they go, this site must be important because 1,000 people retweeted it. They watch all of this stuff. They have the ability to watch everything, and they do. And that's how they can come up with really, really superior results to any other search engine on the web, because they know what real people think about different sites on the web and different pages on the web. And what somebody's done is figured out, when you get a bad result, how to appear like there are real human beings that really care about that page, and they're going out and they're doing link building, but it's a super hit and miss kind of thing, because you know if they've for every one result they get in the top 10 using Black Hat methods where people aren't really talking about them, that page really isn't that popular or important. They've got many, many failures. They've got many other pages that they wish they could do that with, and it just didn't work. Google can't catch it all, but they're getting very, very good at it now. So it's not worth it for anybody to go into any kind of Black Hat stuff. And if you're reading a product description or something like that, and it says, totally automatic is a great big red flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing is totally automatic in a genuine web experience. You know, it's real people typing in, you know, keywords and going to Facebook and liking things and stuff like that. And you cannot. And the more you automate anything, the less you're going to get out of it for search engine rankings, and the more likelihood it's a Black Hat tactic.
Gotcha. Well, we have gone way over. We always do, because you're so fascinating to talk with, and I really appreciate you being with me here today. I love chatting with you and picking your brain. And one day I'd like to get you back, because there's always so much to talk about. In fact, when your blog success product comes out, if you want to come back on and talk about it, I would love to have you.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it's fun. That's the other thing I'm really into right now. It's just kind of nobody's really said anything different about SEO since it started. And,
I know.
You know, tactics change, but strategy is always the same. And SEO in itself really has roots in Black Hat. Because, you know, it started out with artificially making something bigger of yourself, trying to get Google to think you're bigger than you are and more deserving than you are to be in the top 10, rather than just going out and doing the work that it takes, which is usually less work, actually, that most people don't know, to do just the genuine stuff. And nobody who's really, really done and mastered SEO or Black Hat tactics ever got as big as Deuce.com or Boing Boing or TechCrunch. Nobody. And across the board, no Black Hat person has ever gotten that big and had a site that produces that much money and notoriety and anything like that. So
I love TechCrunch. I'm there all the time. Yeah, we will definitely get you back. Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful site. Well, you have given some really great information to our listeners, and I know they appreciate it as much as I do. In fact, I learned some new things, which is always a great thing.
Well, and that's hard to do with you because of your vast knowledge of everything.
That's right, because I know everything about everything. Ask my husband. He'll tell you. I know everything there is to know, and nobody else can tell me anything.
Yes.
But you did today, and I hope he doesn't listen to this and find out that, you know, maybe I can be taught something.
Yeah. I'll keep my mouth shut. I won't put it on Facebook.
Oh, gosh. He's going to listen to it. And then I'll hear this for the rest of the week, but that's okay. I'll just say, well, you know, I was just being kind. I didn't really mean it.
Right. You got to make people feel like they've got something to tell you, you know.
That's right. Well, actually, I did learn something new today, and I really thank you for that. So listen, everybody, thank you for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and the fabulous Jack Humphrey, and we are wishing you a wonderful weekend and a safe Labor Day weekend. Be careful. Don't drink. Don't drive. And, yes, I'm nagging at you. Thank you, Jack. Talk to
thank
you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.